There's been, particularly in the past century in our American churches, many of them, I'm sorry to say, Baptists, a movement to downplay or even repudiate completely the scriptural doctrine of election. We find this doctrine throughout both the Old and New Testaments, but ever so clearly as in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Turn in your Bibles this morning to the very first chapter of the Epistle to the church at Ephesus. I read from the book, from verses 3 through 12 of the first chapter. Verses 3 through 12. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Again, election is made clear and simple to understand in the Roman letter. Turn with me now to the 8th chapter of Romans, the book of Romans. Begin our reading with verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And the body said,
Amen.
Amen. Now, the words before the foundation of the world in the Ephesus letter and predestinate in the Roman letter cannot be explained or interpreted away. They mean exactly what they say. In this month's issue of the Banner of Truth, Sinclair Ferguson writes as to the doctrine, these words, I love this. Now listen. The law of election is not, I was chosen for salvation so that I can live any way I please, but I was chosen for salvation so that I can live in a way that pleases God. I want to read that again. I want you to listen to what it says. I think this is very important in the days in which we live to understand this as Christians. Extremely important. I read it again. I was chosen for salvation so that I can, I was not chosen for salvation so that I can live any way I please. But I was chosen for salvation so that I can live in a way that pleases God. The American church is weak today. The church in America today is weak. Weak. And it's weak today because too many accept the first premise rather than the last. Amen? There is another tragic interpretation of Scripture that I want to address this morning. In the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we discover the Lord Jesus likening the kingdom of heaven to 10 virgins who with their lamps were planning to meet the anticipated bridegroom. Now, turn with me right now to Matthew chapter 25. 25th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. And we begin this reading with verse 3. And I want you to listen to what it says. He's talking about the 10 virgins. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Turn your mind over and think about what that tells us. In verse 2, we're informed that 5 of these virgins were wise and 5 of them were foolish. The result of not being prepared was that the bridegroom told the foolish virgins he didn't know them. Amen? Yeah, I don't know who you are. I'm not familiar with you. I just don't know you. The lesson there is this. You and I, beloved, are intended to watch and be prepared. The church of Jesus Christ is to be found seeking the coming of Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the second coming of Jesus Christ. I wonder if we fully comprehend that in the day in which we're living. And the older I get, the more I wonder. What then are the scriptures trying to tell us here? Doctrine of election, ten virgins. What does it, well, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Sixth chapter of Matthew. And listen to Jesus' words. And think about the church of our day. You all read your newspapers. You all know what's going on in the world today. It's on television. It's all over. It's no secret. No man can serve two masters. We begin with verse 24. Chapter 6. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And here it is. Here's the whole ball of wax, church. Here's what the church is advised to do by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. How desperately the church today needs to understand what they are to seek. The question must be asked, is the American church, not the Baptist church, is the church in America, the real church, is the church seeking peace? Is the church seeking security? Or is the church seeking the kingdom? the church, the loving body of Jesus Christ, to be constantly and continually seeking God's kingdom to be established on this earth. The model prayer that Jesus shared when asked how to pray by his disciples emphasizes this very fact. Jesus prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen? That's what we should be seeking. The church is not told to establish God's kingdom. The church is not told to preach or teach about God's kingdom. We are simply told by Jesus in our Matthew text to seek God's kingdom. You say, what's the difference? Big difference. Big difference. Because if we're seeking God's kingdom, what are we seeking? We're seeking the second coming of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? The only way God's kingdom in heaven is going to come to this earth is when Jesus Christ brings it.
Amen.
Well, we're told in that text to seek God's kingdom. We are further told this amazing truth by Jesus. If the church does this, if the church concentrates on seeking the second coming, waiting for, being ready, having oil in the lamp of Jesus, everything else will be. Everything else. Don't need anything else. Do we realize what we can have if we only do what Jesus says? He's not talking about building big temples. He's not talking about numbers. He's talking about anticipation. He's talking about looking for what this book says to look for. Am I off base here? Am I missing it? If we do spend the short time we have here seeking God's kingdom, every need will be met. Every single need. Now, if we're seeking something, it means we haven't found it yet, amen? That makes sense. You say, now the poor old preach is finally gone off the deep end. Well, we have salvation right now. Did you know that? If you're trusting Jesus, confessed sin, accepted him, been born again, you have salvation right now this minute. You don't have it. That means you have eternal life right now. You already have it. So what do you see? You don't have God's kingdom here on earth. No, you don't. And that's why This world is going to hell in a handbasket. And we really need to think this through. I think. I'll tell you exactly what the church should want. And they should want exactly what Jesus prayed in his prayer. And so the question is, are we ready for the bridegroom's return? And the answer is only if we have oil in our lamps. Ever since our parents sinned in that garden, all those centuries ago, ever since God entered time in a manger some 2,000 years ago, it has been true that there has been no peace on earth. Right? No peace on earth. Been true, there's been no peace on earth and very little of any good wills with men. This world is sick. Sin, you see, is impossible for you and I to defeat. That's why Jesus came and died. He died for us, for our sin. He came and established his church, our salvation, our possession of eternal life is personal, but together we are the body of Christ spiritually. We are one. One. Spiritually. Now, we are, however, individually still seeking, or should be, God's heavenly kingdom right here on this earth. Now, I want us to face some facts. The United Nations isn't going to accomplish it. The absolute and complete destruction of ISIS is not going to accomplish it. What's the answer to this historical failure of the human race? And that's what it is, a historical failure. What is the church of today truly seeking? The answer, according to this book, is it is seeking the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is too much sin for us to conquer. One day, this old, scarred planet, and even space itself, will be cleansed. One day, heaven and earth will be a new heaven and earth. One day, righteousness will dwell where once sin reigned. One day, the Lord will rule, and every tongue will confess, and every knee will bow.
Amen.
And the one who came the first time to seek and to save the lost will rule and reign for eternity.
Amen.
And that is what we are to seek. He came the first time and was not recognized. Think about that. This, beloved, is what the church is to be busy about today. Seeking his coming, preparing for Jesus' return, sharing the good news with that truth with men and women and boys and girls everywhere. Jesus is coming. Who's Jesus? Let me tell you about it. Amen? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? What are you, crazy? No. No. This is the message of the church. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. It's all going to be right. The song they sang at Christmas, peace on earth, good will to men, is coming. That's what we're to be busy about. The good news, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace is still available to all who believe his holy word. But like the five wise virgins, we must be prepared. Amen? There are indeed two masters in this world today, Satan and his crowd, and the church, the true, real, living body of Jesus Christ. How can he be in heaven and how can he be here? He's God. Amen? He's God, of course. Of course he can be. He can be everywhere. What a little God we have in our minds. Let me tell you something. The silent church, the false church, the compromising church, the politically correct church is not a seeking church. I'm going to repeat that one more time. The silent church, the false church, the compromising church, the politically correct church is not the seeking church. The spiritual body of the born-again children of God is instructed to be looking for, to be expecting, to believe that the Lord and Savior is coming again, and once and for all, God's plan will be fulfilled. And Jesus told John at the close of this holy book, "Surely I come quickly." That's what he told John. Surely, I've shown you all this. Surely I come quickly. And so the first thing the non-believer, the skeptic says is, look how long it's been. Well, so St. Peter also tells us this truth. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. We're talking about eternity. What's 2,000 years? What's 20,000 years? What's 2 million years? I don't know. But I know this. Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
That's what we're to be seeking. Amen?
Yeah.
Am I going too far? I think not. Let us, beloved, be a seeking church. Here on this corner, in our community, let's be a seeking church. Here, small, old, Jesus is coming to earth again. What's the worst day? Coming in power and love to reign. What's the worst day? Coming to claim his chosen bride, all the redeemed and purified, over the whole world scattered wide. What is the worst day? What is it? Satan's dominion will then be over. Oh, that it were today. Sorrow and sighing shall be no more. Oh, that it were today. Then shall the dead in Christ arise, caught up to meet him in the skies. When shall the glory meet our eyes? What if it were today? Faithful and true, will he find us here? If he should come today, watching in gladness, not in fear, if it should be today, signs of his coming multiply. Morning light breaks in the eastern sky. Watch, for the time is drawing nigh. What if it were today?